Now, the story of Joseph. We're going to go over this quickly, and I've managed to get somebody along here this morning who used to be an actor with television, and he could perhaps still be an actor, and perhaps he is a bit of an actor. And at great expense, we've got him along here, and I'm going to read out statements of the story of Joseph, the first part of the story. We'll pick it up later on, the second half. And this person is going to act the parts. He's actually got 16 parts to play as he acts it. So if the Reverend John would come forward, here's the story. Once upon a time in Genesis, there was a boy called Joe. He had 11 brothers, so far as I know. He looked after sheep, and he had lots of dreams. His brothers didn't like him, if you know what I mean. They wanted to kill him, and Joe was afraid. In the end, they just sold him to some traders as a slave. For the first time in his life, young Joe was abroad.
He's a thin spectacle.
Joe got a job working for a master. But it wasn't a holiday, you can rest assured. He worked hard for his master, and he took no rest. But his master's wife fancied him and made herself a pest. He was locked up in a prison, and they threw away the key. It seemed he was abandoned with no hope of getting free. But God had not abandoned him. And Joseph prayed, and God heard his prayer, and eventually God set him free from the prison. He was a refugee, and God used him in years afterwards to help feed refugees who were starving and dying. Joseph was afraid. He was abroad, and he felt abandoned. And sometimes we feel abandoned. That is to say that nobody cares for us. Nobody wants us. That's what refugees feel. And sometimes we can feel that. And the Joseph story tells us very clearly that God never gives up on those who believe in him. He never gives them up or gives them away. He wants people. And those who turn to him and talk to him and trust him know his love and his protection. We're going to... Now, turning to our harvest prayers, we're going to have, first of all, a prayer from the congregation. And that's, as you notice, underneath the hymn that we've just been singing. And then three of the children will lead us in short prayers concerning these three words that we've been highlighting just now in the story of Joseph, praying for those who are afraid, those who are abroad, and those who feel abandoned. And then we finish with the Lord's Prayer. So let us, together as a congregation, pray and say.
Loving Father, thank you for our daily food. Thank you for all you give us that makes our lives full of joy. Please hear our prayer for the hungry, the poor, and the refugee. Grant them food for today and hope for tomorrow. Give strength to all who work together for them, and help us to play our part in meeting the worldwide harvest challenge. May we share all your good gifts for the benefit of us and the glory of your name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Dear God, we know that today, right now, there are many people in danger. They are afraid of what could happen to them. We ask that you will keep them safe. Please listen to their cries for help. Let them know that you care and help us to care too. Amen.
Lord Jesus, when we lived on earth, you and Mary and Joseph had to run for your lives to a foreign country. Please be with people who are forced to live in a foreign country now. Comfort those who are separated from their families. Show them that they are not part of your family. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for our homes and our friends. You are the friend of the poor. We pray for those who feel they have been abandoned and forgotten. Help them to know that you are with them. Help them to know that people do care about them, and help them to know that they can have a home with you forever. Amen.
And hear us, Father, as we gather up all our petitions and prayers in the words that Jesus taught us to pray and to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There are lots of refugees in the world. That's to say, remember the word refugee? That's people who are having to live in another country, far away from their home. Now this map here helps us to focus upon a part of the world that we don't perhaps think of very often. It's part of a great big place called Africa, heard of Africa. And on the left of Africa, up towards the top, the lands of Sierra Leone, Liberia, and it's Guinea that we're going to be thinking of particularly today. Now, Guinea has 600,000 refugees. Most of them have come from here and here, Liberia and Sierra Leone, because of the fighting and the violence. They've had to run away and leave their homes and go to Guinea, and they're staying in camps. And in many of these camps, there's very little food. In one of the camps, there are twins aged 6 years of age with no mummy or daddy. And they can't speak at all and haven't spoken since they saw their mum and dad hacked to death. One of the refugee camps, there's some food being distributed. Meager rations of food, one has to say. Here in one of the camps, a prayer being offered by a lady for the food that she has received. It's called grace, isn't it? Giving thanks for food. I wonder if we give thanks before the food that we receive. This lady in the camp is giving thanks to God for the little food that she receives. There are some of the Christians in Guinea praising God and thanking him for his goodness and kindness. We take so much for granted in our world and living here in Scotland, where we have so much. Do we praise God and thank Him as we ought. Here's somebody who helps the people in Guinea to farm the lands and to grow crops and produce food. His name is Joe, and we're going to be learning about him a bit later on. Here's a picture of Lorpu. She is working in the field as a refugee in Guinea. So they face the harvest challenge in Guinea, and they do it by providing and praying and praising and planning and planting. But what can we do here to try and help? Well, we can pray, and we've done that already, but we can also give, can't we? And once again, I'm going to invite you from harvest right through to Christmas to get these jars and to put them by your kitchen table or on top of your television set or in the living room where you're eating, and before every meal just to take out one or two pence and to put them in the jar and get a label that we're going to be handing out today, a jar of grace label, and stick it on. Here somebody handed me in a jar full of pennies already, and at Christmas time towards the end of the year we're going to gather in all these pennies and we're going to send them to boys and girls in different parts of the world where perhaps the refugees living in camps, little food, falling sick, and perhaps feeling very ill. Last year we raised from all the pennies in this congregation just about £1,000 and sent them to the United Nations Children's Fund. So let's try and do that again this year. Now, the Bible says that when we give, we must give gladly and cheerfully. And our next hymn reflects this. As we've said already, we are very conscious of the things that we have in great abundance in our country today. And it is very good for us to stop and to pause and to think of all those in other parts of the world who don't have what we have. Before our reading of the Joseph story, here's a short poem, All We Need.
Food in our bellies, hats on our heads, water to quench us, sheets on our beds, teachers to teach us, shoes on our feet, trousers and t-shirts, shelter and heat, someone to love us, someone to love, hope for the future, and light from above.
Now, our Bible reading is taken from Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41 and reading verses 46 to 57. Let's hear God's word. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. And before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." And the second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. And when all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." And when the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all the world. Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading from his word. The notices are contained on the sheet in the usual place opposite the order of service. Before I highlight one or two, let me express on behalf of the congregation our warm thanks indeed to Jean Hosey and the ladies of the Floral Art Group, who have decorated the church so beautifully this morning. They spent a lot of time last night working on to quite late, and we see the fruit of their work, and we want them to know how grateful we are to them for it. Now, the ladies of the guild are asked to remain behind as usual and to help to parcel up these gifts, and we then would ask for drivers to come back to the church around about 1:30, 1:45. With so many people being away on holiday, we are bereft of a lot of the usual drivers, and we really do need a lot of help for that this afternoon. So can I appeal to you once again to come along and to volunteer your services to distribute these gifts and goods round the houses and homes and the hospitals where we've got members staying. And our evening service tonight is down at Moody's Burn Hall, and before that we have Joseph, the Harvest Challenge, and the 3 points for this short talk are shown on the wall screen. Some of you may not see the words, some of you may not be able to read the words, and some of you haven't read them, might not know what they mean. But let me explain as I go through. The first word is revelation. In our Bible reading this morning from Genesis chapter 41, if we'd read back before it, we would have found out that Pharaoh had two dreams. Now, Pharaoh was the top man in the country. In his country, he had, I suppose, the combined powers of Prime Minister, Prince of Wales, and Archbishop of Canterbury in our country. And this Pharaoh in Egypt had two dreams. And in those days, God, through dreams, told people what was going to happen. And Joseph was given the power from God to reveal, make known, show what these dreams meant and what was going to happen. Pharaoh said, Joseph, God has revealed that there are going to be 7 good harvest years when we'll be able to gather in lots and lots of food, and that will be followed by 7 famine years when we won't be able to gather any food. Today in Guinea, the church has faced a harvest challenge. The need was right there in front of them as thousands and thousands of frightened and hungry people came into their country to live. And God revealed, showed, made known his plan that his love be demonstrated and Christians go and try and help these refugees. Now today I suppose we face a harvest challenge as God opens our eyes to remind us that we celebrate harvest in a world of great need. Did you know that there are 13 million refugees in this world? Did you know that the number of refugees in this world has doubled in the last 10 years? Did you know that 1 out of every 115 people on earth has at some time been forced to run for them from their houses and settle somewhere else, a refugee, I suppose? So if this was part of the world's population, 1 out of every 115 people would have been in that position. About 3 or 4 in this church this morning. Gosh, imagine if it was you or me.
no house to stay in, no bed to sleep in, no cooker, fridge, or freezer, but having to spend the rest of the winter in front of us outside in a tent on the Moor Park with just a couple of blankets and a pillow. Imagine. Well, of course, that's what God's Son really had to put up with, for he came to be a refugee for our sakes. What a revelation. There's the first word. The second word, resources. God had given Joseph resources. That means the abilities, powers, things to use to tackle his harvest challenge in Egypt. He gave Joseph years of experience, the ability to organize, the ability to interpret dreams, and faith. And Joseph used these resources from God to meet the harvest challenge. The church in Guinea today has found resources, people in particular with skills and commitment, resources to use to try and help keep people alive. In particular, the church has used one man whose name is, well, it's the same name, Joseph. Let me tell you quickly the story of Joseph Knight, who's in Guinea today. He was brought up in Liberia. He came to this country and studied agriculture, that's to say, to learn all about farming. And he went back to Liberia and got an important job, but that didn't keep him from danger and difficulty. In April 1990, rebel soldiers came to his town, looting, fighting, killing, and somebody came to Joe's door and said, "Quick, you've got 5 minutes to pack. Get a suitcase. Run for your life." And he and his wife did. They went to stay with his wife's parents for 3 months in another part of Liberia. And then one day, soldiers came to the door and stole Joe's car and grabbed Joe and told him to drive them around anywhere they wanted for a day. He managed to escape, being afraid that he was going to be killed. He told his wife that night and she said, "You've got to run to Guinea." Do you remember on the map? There was Guinea and underneath it was Liberia. Well, he ran from his parents-in-law's house. For 30 minutes, came to a river, got in a canoe, and crossed the river, walked for another half hour, came to a town, and there he stayed for some time in an old building with nothing in it except 100 refugees. But then some of them got very sick, and the illness spread, and Joe moved on. He walked for 10 hours one day until he came to a place called Yomu. And he arrived at a church, and he fell exhausted into the church. The Christians welcomed him, brought him in, clothed him, fed him, and after some time they found out that he could help them. And for 7 years, Joseph has been helping refugees in Guinea to stay alive. He's been helping the people to farm their lands, grow their crops, produce food. His wife has joined him, and they've been there working for Tear Fund. Joseph Knight became a Christian when he was just a young lad. And when he was a young man, he was involved in a terrible car accident, and two people were killed. And Joseph today would say that God spared him to keep him alive, to help others to keep alive, by helping them to find food. So there's the Joseph in Genesis and the Joseph in Guinea. And they used the resources that God had given them. And we've got resources to use for this harvest challenge that we face. We've got prayers, of course, and money and food. And I suppose we could cut back on our food bill and give the money we save to feed the hungry. We could live simpler lives that others could simply live. Revelation, resources, results. At the end of Genesis 41, we can read of the results of Joseph's planning and action. The whole world came to Egypt to be fed. There have already been results in Guinea. Refugee families have been kept alive, the land made productive, the witness of the church increased. And the Bible promises us that if we share our resources, there will be results in this harvest challenge. Hungry people will be fed. Thanksgiving will be offered to God. There are many kinds of hungry people in our country and around our doors. Those who are lonely, those who are sad, those who have many needs. And if we share our resources, if we try and help them in Jesus' name and show them Jesus' love, then we make it easier for them to believe in Jesus. One day at the end of history, Jesus will say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in." Let's pray together. The problem seems so vast. O Lord, the number seems so great. And we have so little, it seems, to contribute. Yet help us, O Lord, in this, your world of great need, to give what we can, to do what we can, to be able to dip into our pockets and to share, to remember to pray, to have a heart that cares and loves, to be able in some small way to look around us and see the hungry people around our doors, to be able to spot the various kinds of spiritual and human hunger and thirst, and to be willing, in the name of Jesus, your Son, to go and try and help in whatever way we can, so that many in this parish may find it easier to believe in the Lord Jesus, your Son. And this we ask for his name's sake. Amen.